Let's get started. So a little bit of parsha as always, except we're not going to talk about the parsha. We're not even going to talk about the haftorah. We'll talk about what the haftorah should have been, because I think sometimes there are lessons to learn from the week's parsha and from the week's haftorah, and sometimes there are lessons to learn from what we choose not to learn for the haftorah. Minhagi Yisrael are obviously based on both halacha and hashkafa. The minhagim of the haftorah read by Ashkenazim and Achreimus Kedoshim are extremely unusual. First of all, the haftorah of Achreimus is from Amos, and it encourages Klal Yisrael through the galus. It's designed to teach that galus is a temporary condition. V'shafti yeshvus ami Yisrael, that the Jewish people are going to come back. We're going to have a kibbutz galios. We're not to kramim. We're going to be able to plant vineyards in Eretz Yisrael. There are going to be wineries right now. Who goes on a tour of Eretz Yisrael without stopping at a winery somewhere? I mean, we see all of this happening, and the vasuginos and the orchards and everything. It's a desert. Yeah, but we'll figure out these ways to have a little bit of water spritz out of the ground, and we'll be able to grow things in the desert. It's going to be unbelievable. So we're going to be implanted in our land. We're not going to be uprooted. No matter how long Gullus lasts, eventually we're coming back. It's a very encouraging Haftorah. The Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim, which is this week's Parsha in Chutz Laaretz, that Ashkenazim read is, Ashkenazim always seem to lose on the Haftorah choices, you know, like, if you notice that, it's like, should have been Chabad or whatever. But the Ashkenazim, the minhag of the Ashkenazim on the Haftorah is to read from Yechezkel Perchav Beis, and that is an extremely harsh rebuke of the Jewish people in Yerushalayim. In fact, it's very rarely actually read according to minhag Ashkenaz. The Ramah in Simin Tav Chav Ches says that we normally read the Haftorah of the second parsha when two parshios are combined, but not when Achreimos and Kedoshim are combined. When Achreimos and Kedoshim are combined, we go back to the nice, positive Haftorah of Parshas Achreimos, not the one for Kedoshim. Achronim add that when Achreimos is on Erev Rosh Chodesh, like it was last week on Erev Rosh Chodesh, because today is not actually Heir, right? So that when Achreimos is on Erev Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh this week was Sunday and Monday, so what do we read for the Haftorah last week? I mean, we had a bar mitzvah in shul this past week, so I went to the early minyan first. I was davening both minyanim. Need all the tefillos I can get. So I went to the early minyan first, and someone came over to me. The gabbai came over to me and he said, "What do we do when there's a stira between the Ezra's Torah Luach and the board, you know, the computer board in the front of the shul, as to which Haftorah to lean?" So, and I'm thinking about the bar mitzvah boy, like, what did he prepare? I mean, the answer is, you lay in Machar Chodesh because that's the right one. I don't know which one says not to do that, but, you know, that's what you're actually supposed to do. Thank God the bar mitzvah boy prepared it. Last week we had Machar Chodesh, so we didn't read the Haftorah for Achreimos. And therefore, we read the Haftorah for Achreimos this week. We almost never read the actual Haftorah for Kedoshim. If Achreimos is Shabbos HaGadol, we do the same. It almost never happens that we read the Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim. It was read in the year Tafshin Nun Zayin. The time before that was Tafshin Lamed Gimel. I think maybe next year or in 2 years, I think it will be read again. So like every 25 years or so, we actually read the Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim. It was one of the most rarely read Haftorahs that we have. So why do we do anything we possibly can to avoid this Haftorah? Like, what are we running away from when it comes to the Haftorah for Parshas Kedoshim? So it's based on a Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says not to read Yechezkel Tes Zayin, not to read Yechezkel Perek Tes Zayin, which is not our Haftorah, but it's similar in theme to our Haftorah, which also is a very negative Haftorah toward Yerushalayim. It speaks very, very harshly toward Yerushalayim. The Rambam in the Perish of Mishnayis says you shouldn't read it out of kavod to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara continues in Daf Yom Beis that there was a Maisa Ba'adam Echad, there was a guy who, while he was in Reb Lazar's city, he read that Haftorah against Shitas Reb Lazar. So Reb Lazar said, instead of looking for all the toevos of Yerushalayim, why don't you look at the toevos of your own mother, right? Which is generally an insult, right? When you question one's mother's occupation at the time that he was conceived, that's usually like, you know, not a a positive thing. So instead of being bodek the toevos Yerushalayim, be bodek the toevos of your own mother. So the Gemara says, "Batku acharav umatu b'shemetz p'sul." Chacham Adav Minavi, they were Bodek Acharav, and they found Taka. There was a Shemetz Psul. They found that he had a Psul in his Yichus. So we don't pass on like Rabbi Lazar, but the Minig Ashkenaz is to minimize, as much as we can, reading the Toevos Yerushalayim. So what exactly was Rabbi Lazar's objection to reading it? And the simple understanding is that it includes the phrase Toevos Yerushalayim, and that's the basis of the Minig Rama. But the Levush disagrees with the Rama. And the Levush says, we don't have to refrain from Yecheskel Tezayin. The entire objection is to Yecheskel Chavbeis, which was much more objectionable, because it says in Yecheskel Chavbeis, to let Klal Yisrael know the abomination of Yerushalayim, tell them that your birthplace was Eretz Canaan, your father is an Amori, and your mother is a Chittis. Meaning, the Navi was saying that we're acting as if we descend from Emorim, who are the prototypical examples of an abomination, meaning when we talk about following in a way that we should not be following, taking on behaviors that we should not be doing, we call it Darkei Emori. So the Emori is like a very, very negative thing. And Chitis, for women, is the symbol of the very worst in society. Katzti b'chayai mipnei Benos Cheis, right? So when we say your father was an Amori, your mother was a Chitis, it's a very, very insulting thing. And that was Rabbi Lazar's objection. When Rabbi Lazar criticized, he didn't even want to say the word Avicha Amori V'imo Chitis, so he spoke Beremiza, and what he said instead was Acha Ata Bodek B'Toevos Yerushalayim Bodek B'Toevos Imecha, meaning he was saying, look at where you come from. According to the Levush, we would still read the Haftorah of Parshas Kedoshim nowadays, we just wouldn't read that Haftorah, the one that Rabbi Lazar didn't like, because it refers to the Toevos Yerushalayim. So the question is, according to the Ramah, why did he have to mention the defect in the lineage? Meaning Rabbi Lazar criticizes this fellow by saying, you know, you have a defect in your lineage. What does that do with, why does the defect in the lineage of a person have to do with the gratuitous criticism of Yerushalayim? I mean, according to Levush, I get it. Meaning that the objectionable part that you're not allowed to lane is about lineage. So he said, so look into your own lineage. And he just didn't say it, spell it out, because he didn't even want to spell it out. But according to the Ramah, it's really just about speaking negative about Yerushalayim. So what does that have to do with lineage? Why is Rabbi Lazar going crazy that you should check your own lineage? Where's the Midah Keneged Midah in that? Because he speaks not so nicely about Yerushalayim, that means that there's a problem in his lineage. And even according to Levush, who says that the problem was in the way that the Navi refers to a mother and a father, which clearly relates to lineage, why did Rabbi Lazar only mention the potential defect in the maternal lineage? Right? Rabbi Lazar didn't say, Tseu B'dok in the Yichus of your mother and your father. He said, Tseu B'dok B'toevos Imecha. He didn't say, Tseu B'dok B'toevos Avicha V'Imecha. But the problem in the Navi was that about both the Av and the Aim, that Avicha Emori, that the Aim is a Chitis. So why is he only, Rabbi Lazar, when he's criticizing this Ish Echad, this guy who showed up and started reading this chapter in Yechezkel, why is he only criticizing him about his mother and not about his father? So when I used to teach in Lander College, one of the great Talmidei Chachamim that are there, that probably most of you don't know about, is somebody by the name of Rav Eliyahu Soloveitchik. And the last name might sound familiar to you. Rav Eliyahu Soloveitchik is the son of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Big, big, big Talmud Chacham. But really, so he was always the featured Yom HaAtzmaut speaker in Lander. He'd always give a shir about Kedushas Yerushalayim or something, and then they'd have Flesh Gesuda. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, Rav Eliyahu Soloveitchik Shlita suggested that perhaps, I think this was his Yom HaAtzmaut speech one year, that perhaps Rabbi Lazar was expressing that this Adam Echad, this guy that came to Rabbi Lazar's community, must have lacked a maternal relationship, and that caused him to miss out on the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, on the proper understanding of what the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. And it's only because he lacked that maternal relationship, it's because he lacked that appreciation of the Mesorah that he lacked a genuine appreciation of Yerushalayim. The Mesorah begins with Avos and Imahos. Shema b'ni Musar Avicha va'al titosh Toras Imecha. You can't have you know, Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, unless you have the Shlosha Miyodeya and Arba Miyodeya first, unless you first have the Shlosha Avos Arba Imahos. The Torah is not just a Mesorah of Avos, it's a Mesorah of Imahos as well. Kol Somar LeBeis Yaakov LeBeis Yisrael. The Beis Yaakov is first, and only then the Bnei Yisrael, only then comes the Bnei Yisrael. The mother plays a primary role, and the father a secondary role when talking about the sensitivities of Yiddishkeit. This ish echad, Rabbi Lazar is telling, if you, this ish echad, are comfortable to read about and emphasize the Toevos Yerushalayim, then you haven't absorbed the message of the mother. Maybe you've absorbed the message of the father, a cold analysis of exactly what's happening. Yeah, that you could do. You're a lamdan, shkoyach. But what you're lacking is a certain sensitivity, a certain ahava, a certain sense of just to feel like a Jew. If you're perfectly comfortable speaking about the Toevos Yerushalayim, a father has to primarily teach Torah, very specific instruction, effort, concentration. Mother has no chiyuv lulami Torah, but teaches through interaction with the children and with love. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Aleph says, Ish imo vaviv tiro, goliv yodol mishamar vayo olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, sheben mechabed es imo yoser me aviv mnei shemeshadalto b'devarim. That a son has this more emotional connection to a mother than to a father, because she speaks nicely to him. A mother speaks with tender words. She speaks softly to the child. The father is demanding. A mother is sensitive. Obviously, it is big adult. There are a lot of different type personality types. It doesn't always work out this way. But she was tender and tolerant and sympathetic, and that's how she offers guidance. Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, has a magnificent description of the unique roles of a mother and father in an essay in the book Family Redeemed. You know, you ever see that book where essays on family issues, where he describes the roles in a very, very eloquent way that only he is capable of. But of course, those are primary roles. You know, sometimes a father has to act as a mother and a mother has to act as a father. Sometimes a father has to heighten his level of sensitivity and softness, and sometimes a mother has to be a little bit more demanding. The pasuk describes that Eliyahu and Elisha were walking together. Vayal Eliyahu b'sara shemayim, and Eliyahu goes up in the chariots of fire. Eliyahu goes up to shemayim, and Elisha cries out, "Avi, Avi." A double expression, and the Medrash comments, the double expression is to indicate that from Elisha's perspective, he's an av and an aim. That Eliyahu served both roles, as both an av as well as an aim, a father and a mother. Chazal link kibra ve'aim to kavra makom. The Gemara says, Hishva kosov kibra ve'aim l'kavra makom. And the Rav explained, it doesn't actually equate honoring parents with honoring Hashem, but it just identifies the two acts with each other. Meaning when a person honors or reveres father and mother, to use the Rav's Lashon, ipso facto, he honors and reveres HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Hashem is both, in that sense, father and mother. So the parental concern is an expression of divine concern, right? The Gemara says this explicitly. The Gemara says, Rav Yosef ki avashama kol kara di ime, when he would hear his mother's footsteps coming, havamar ekum mikame shechina dekaasya. I have to stand up because the shechina is coming. Having a mother and a father who serve in their roles gives a person the ability to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way. It serves as a mashal to our relationship to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem fills both roles. To the extent that something is missing in your relationship with your mother or your father, it's an additional challenge to overcome in order to appreciate what a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam is. It's not impossible, but you know, some people are born on third base, you know, and it's easier to get there. Some people have a greater challenge. So with that in mind, let's go back to that Gemara Megillah. The man had no qualms about reading about the abominations of Yerushalayim, about the Toevos of Yerushalayim. And as Rabbi Lazar predicted, he had a Shemetz Psul, meaning there are portions of Nevi'im that are very harsh, that express very harsh rebuke, major portions of Nevi'im that express very harsh rebuke. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu acting as a father, correcting us when we do wrong. Remember, I a couple of years ago, I spoke in my old elementary school, and my father attended the speech, and he said to me afterwards, he said, it was good cheer. So I said, of course you're going to say that. You're my father. You're somewhat biased. And he said, No, I would have no problem telling you if it was a bad shiur. And then I thought about it, I'm like, man, that's probably true. you would have a problem. But my mother, I've never not hit Grand Slam, you know, according to my mother. You know, like every time I speak, it's amazing, you know, like there's, she always says, like there are a few good speakers. There's Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who's like, I think she's a big Charlie Harari guy, Charlie Harari woman. And so there's Jonathan Sacks, there's Charlie Harari, and my son, of course, every time is an absolute home run. A father guides and corrects, a mother comforts and encourages. So Rav Lezer said that this man should have included comforting portions, because Hashem is our mother too. He only picked up on the father's side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He only picked up on the harsh rebuke. He only picked up on the Toevos Yerushalayim. Where's the softness? Where's the tenderness? He's missing something. Tseyu b'tok b'toevos imecha. I'm confident you picked up what your father had to offer. If you can't express Hashem's role as a mother, it means that you never really properly experienced the love of Yiddish Mama. And that's what he was telling him. So on Yom HaTzmaut, it's important to recognize the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both as a mother and a father. Hashem saw the kind of nechama that we needed after the level of churban that we experienced in the Holocaust. And Hashem, with motherly love, embraced us and brought us back to Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. You see sometimes like Holocaust survivors looking at their grandchildren enlisting in the IDF. And you see Hashem's nechama in a very, very special way. I just had the opportunity this morning, I drove into Yeshiva, I drove Rabbi Teller in. He's speaking in Stern, so he asked me for a ride into YU. And he took the train down to Stern. And he told me that he was once Menachem Avil, somebody who lost a son in Lebanon. And he went to the house, and the person said, you know, when we give nechama, we say Hamakom Yenachem. He said, well, why do we say Hamakom Yenachem? It's a famous question. There are a million different answers to the question. And this fellow said, because my only nechama is the makom that my son was defending. With everything I've been through in my life, and this person escaped from Russia and had a lot of terrible things, the makom that I'm in is the nechama. The makom is the fact that we have that makom. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu serving as a mother. And we become a more emotionally mature nation if we recognize how we've experienced the tough love of a father throughout history, but we also experience the warm caress of a mother throughout history. And specifically at this point in history. And it's something that a sensitive soul, you know, I try to be like, you know, document everything that you say and like very organized. But a sensitive soul sometimes just has to let their neshama experience, you know, just let their neshama emote, let their, to be in touch with that sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as mother. And even if at times, and unfortunately way too many times, there are setbacks and there are challenges and there's pain, but together with that pain comes a great sense of love, a great sense of comfort. Rabbi Kalinsky just came to my office before, and he told me over a piece of Torah from Rav Drukman. Rav Drukman said that, you know, there's a Beis Yosef, there's a whole discussion in Poskim about whether you say Shechionu at a Bris Milah. So Minhag Ashkenaz we don't, because it's Tzar LeYanuka, so we don't say Shechionu at a Bris Milah. So Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam, that Minhag Eretz Yisrael is that, yes, you say Shechionu at a Bris Milah. So Rav Drukman said, I understand, in Eretz Yisrael there's no Tzar LeYanuka. The babies cry there too. You ever been to a Bris in Eretz Yisrael? They cry just as much as they cry here. So why is it Tzar LeYanuka, something in Chutzlar, that will prevent us from saying Shechionu Chutzlar, it's not in Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Drukman said, because in Eretz Yisrael we've grown accustomed to feeling joy and pain simultaneously, and we don't view them as a stira anymore. We've grown accustomed to the harsh rebuke and the joy and the sensitivity and the softness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu simultaneously. And that's something that we see each and every day. And we daven, of course, that the harsh rebuke should end and that all the nevuos of the Tochacha should be finished already, so that we could experience all of the positive nevuos that we see unfolding in front of our eyes.